Good morning, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 in Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control of this session is actually myself, Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathy. My location is beautiful Vero Beach, Florida, where currently it's a temperature of 75 degrees. High today of about 82 and low tonight of about 66. Humidity, I believe, is about 90%. And you know, maybe there's some storms possible, but a beautiful start to the day. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, please come aboard. Hearing no emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. How about any of those birthday stations, either last week or this coming week, that would like to come aboard so we could say happy birthday? So if you're one of those stations, welcome aboard. No birthday stations either. That's a regular occurrence here on the nets. But that's okay. This is the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. The purpose of this net is to bring our members and non-members together in a relaxed and informal atmosphere to enjoy a moderated rag chew. Our topic this morning to start things off is Groundhog Day. We're also going to talk about winter. And my backup this morning is Gary, KC2RMO, and we do have a real special guest with us this morning. So I'm not going to go too much into the announcements, but I do want you to make sure and check out our website. It has changed this morning, and so if you haven't had a chance, you may want to check that out. But I ask you to please check that out maybe after the net is over, because I don't want the news to be let out before Gary and I do our session this morning. So let me drop here for just a moment as we continue with this morning's program. Once again, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I do want to advise everyone that I always record these sessions for future presentation on our website as a podcast. So if it's been an interesting one this morning, it most definitely will be added to the podcast. So check it out maybe in the future. But with all of this said, let's begin our program this morning, and we're going to call all the way to Syracuse, New York, to my backup, Gary, KC2RMO. Gary, I hope you're there, my friend. I want you to come aboard and share your introduction, and let's hear about Diggy. So, Gary, KC2, come aboard.
Hey, thank you, Kathy. And here we are, 31 degrees in Syracuse, just kind of a murky kind of a morning. The word is it's a little bit too early, but it looks like Tuesday and Wednesday we're going to have some substantial snow around here, and I finally get try my new truck out. So we'll see. But yes, good morning, and here we go on our Groundhog Day special. You know, we have a groundhog in our yard for real. You haven't seen too much of him this season. He's been in and out. He likes to hang out on our deck and under our deck. He's been doing that for the past 3 years. We named him Diggy because he digs. That's also my doctor's nickname. His name is Dijon, but they call him Diggy. And we have a real groundhog in residence here, though, at our house. So we want to thank everybody for joining us during our special Groundhog Day and winter special. Our program will include winter facts and festivities, Groundhog Day facts and festivities, and finally, trivia and some brain teasers. We'll even be talking to Mr. Groundhog himself. Now, we think this will be a fun program and hope that you'll participate and, of course, enjoy. Now, the program will be simple in nature. The moderator, either myself, KC2RMO, or Kathy K6SUN, will give some general information, facts, or trivia on both winter and groundhogs and Groundhog Day, asking for audience participation. Now let's get started. First of all, I'm going to call on Kathy, K6SUN, to give us some background information that she's compiled, first of an explanation of El Nino and La Nina. And then we'll share some winter facts before we get going into the main program. So, please come aboard, Kathy.
Well, thanks so much, Gary, for that introduction about Diggy and telling us about how anxious you are to, I said to you last night, to do those figure eights with that truck. And I told you that sounds like a lot of my students. But I know you'll have fun. But, you know, keep that winter storm up that direction with the groundhog. And what I have heard doesn't bother us in Florida, but it may for the rest of you. But because Groundhog Day hopefully signifies the end of winter and all that cold weather for everyone, I wanted to talk a little bit about winter. We always hear the two terms, El Nino and La Nina. So I want to first explain their meaning and some facts before turning back to Gary for some continuation of this morning's program. First of all, the meaning in Spanish is boy and girl. So El Nino is boy and La Nina is girl. Incidentally, Groundhog Day is today, February the 2nd, and many of you know the meaning of Groundhog Day. So is spring here, or will we experience some more winter? And we'll cover our findings a little bit later. So let me pause for a moment, and I'm going to first talk a little bit about El Nino. You know, El Nino refers to a warming of the Pacific equatorial waters and a slackening of the trade winds over those waters. The name originated in Peru. Two big industries in Peru were fishing and fertilizer. Fishermen noticed that once every several years, the waters would warm. The upwelling of cold water that brought nutrients to the fish would stop. The fish that fed on the nutrients would leave. And the birds that fed on the fish would leave. The warmer water of the El Nino reduced the number of fish available to catch. The bird guano was a major source of fertilizer. It had a great impact on the local economy. Peruvian fishermen noticed that the arrival of El Nino often coincided with the Christmas season, so named the phenomenon after the baby boy Jesus. Every 2 to 5 years, El Nino reappears and lasts for several months or even a few years. Now, the warm water that causes El Nino is usually located near Indonesia, near non-El Nino years. However, during periods of El Nino, the water moves eastward to lie off the coast of South America. El Nino increases average ocean surface water temperature in the region. This mass of warm water is what caused climatic change around the world. Let me pause once again. Now, closer to the Pacific Ocean, El Nino causes torrential rains across the west coast of North America and South America. Very strong El Nino events have caused significant flooding and damage from California to Mexico to Chile. The effects of El Nino are felt as far away from the Pacific Ocean as eastern Africa. And El Nino requires 5 consecutive months of unusually high sea surface temperatures in the eastern Pacific Ocean off the coast of South America to be considered an El Nino. Some characteristics include rain and flooding along the Pacific coast. Warm water disrupts food chains of fish, birds, and sea mammals, tornadoes and thunderstorms in southern U.S., fewer than normal hurricanes in the Atlantic. So the El Nino is a regularly occurring climatic feature of our planet. So maybe this year it's an El Nino. We've had very few hurricanes. Now, what is the La Nina? Remember, that's the girl. Scientists refer to La Nina when exceptionally cool waters lie off the coast of South America. A cooling of the Pacific equatorial waters and an increase in the trade winds over those waters as La Nina, or baby girl. Strong La Nina events have been responsible for the opposite effects on the climate. It is not uncommon for La Nina to follow a strong El Nino. Characteristics include snow and rain on the west coast, unusually cold weather in Alaska, unusually warm weather in the rest of the United States, a drought in the southwest, higher than normal number of hurricanes in the Atlantic. So we may not be looking for that. Let me pause once again. So how many of you have been confused with El Nino and La Nina, and probably still are? Are there any check-ins or comments at this time? We ask that you come aboard. We ask for suffixes only. So before I call it back on Gary to come aboard with some facts, I'm looking for some check-ins this morning. And we want to welcome you to the Sunday Morning Rag Chew about Groundhog Day and winter. So how about any check-ins this morning?
Did I be?
Q-Y-I-L-G.
Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, I took a longer pause than normal to see if there was anyone else. We have four check-ins to begin this morning. We have ZIV, Dwayne, QY, Jim, ILG, Mr. Bud, and LCB, Mr. George. Is there anyone else that would like to come aboard as we begin our program this morning? So I'm looking for any additional check-ins.
One India.
All right, I'll take these five stations I have, and I want to say good morning to each and every one of you. And Mr. George, I know you missed an interesting program last evening, but I'm sure it'll be posted. But let's start with you, Dwayne, ZIV. What are your comments this morning? Now, when you come aboard, ladies and gentlemen, don't spill the beans for us and tell us what Mr. Phil or Mr. Pierre Chadeau or any other groundhogs are going to tell us. So don't spill the beans, but hopefully you watched those proceedings this morning. So with that, Dwayne, please come aboard.
Yeah, thank you, Miss Sunshine, as they call you. Anyway, I miss the first part of that. Well, I heard it was something about Jesus. And, but I just want to let you know, that's when I clicked in, you know, actually. When I come aboard there, as you say, I came aboard right when you said Jesus. I thought, wow, check it out. I didn't go to church today, but it's still talking about Jesus. But and then I came into El Nino and stuff, so I just wondered what you said before Jesus. In Angelini.
Well, Dwayne, I guess that was a great time to come aboard. I was talking about El Nino and how it all started and the occurrences. And actually, it was about originated in Peru with the Peruvian fishermen. And they noticed El Nino often coincided with the Christmas season. So they named the phenomenon after the baby boy Jesus. And that was called El Nino, which means a baby boy. So that's where I came up with Jesus, which had nothing to do with El Nino or La Nina except the name. But thanks for being here this morning, Dwayne. And I hope that you'll enjoy the program as we go through winter facts and trivia. And we have some interesting trivia for each of you, or all of you, to come aboard. And then we're going to talk with a groundhog himself, and then we're going to continue on and let you know whether that groundhog saw a shadow or not. So hopefully you'll be there through the entire session. If you're not, we always record, and hopefully you'll be posted on the website. So I'll break with you, Dwayne. I hope that answered your question, and I'll pick up you, Mr. Jim. Hopefully you and Rebecca are doing well this morning, and thanks for joining us.
All right, this is Davey Forrest, QY, Echo 1880. Wow, there. good morning to everybody on the net. And, well, I was a little bit late getting here, too. I let time slip up on me. So, I didn't get right on the front of the net, but that's all right, too. And, I don't even know. I haven't heard what Beauregard found. He's the one that's here in Atlanta. mean, I know that much. I sure don't think that we're through, although I'd like to think so, but that's all right. We'll have every what he takes an ocean to give us. Why, we'll just take it and enjoy it anyhow. So there you go. Really doesn't make a whole lot of difference to me, because I'm going to enjoy it anyhow. whether it's winter, summer, spring, fall, don't make no difference. It's all good. So, back to you, Miss Sunshine, the KV4QY.
Well, thanks, Jim. I didn't know there was a Beauregard, but, I know of a couple that I'm going to share this morning. And I know Mr. Steve is here this morning. But we have a Pierre Chadeau up in Louisiana. We have the Puxahanny Phil, and there's probably other ones around the country. But I was listening to weather there in Atlanta. It was on the television at our school in the lobby. I know they were really hit hard, not able to know how to drive in winter and snow and ice. And I was listening to it one day that it took some people 10 to 12 hours to get where they were going, and they're stranded in cars, and it was a pretty bad scene. So did you have any of that bad weather up there in Franklin that they sure had in Atlanta? Sorry to hear about bad weather headed your way. But you know, where I live in Vero Beach, southern Florida, spring, winter, fall, and summer, not much different. Temperature changes. But the grass is still green, the trees are green, and it's usually beautiful, no matter what time of year it is. So, Jim, did you experience some of that bad weather that Atlanta had? And maybe you can explain how much snow and what happened in your area.
All right. Well, we had 3 inches of snow, and that's the most that we've had in several years. We've had an inch several times, but that's the biggest snow we've had in several years anyway. And of course, I don't live in Atlanta. That's the beauty of it. But I know the situation up there. And I was up there for about 60 years or better. And oddly enough, believe it, you won't believe it, but it is true. Let me cycle. It is true that most of the traffic problems in Atlanta actually is caused by Northerners, Yankees, if you want to call it that way. But what they do is get down here, and they're silly enough to think this snow is just like the snow they have at home. And it's not. This snow contains a whole lot more water and makes ice real quick. And they run around just think they can still go 56 miles an hour, and you can't do it. That's all it is. You just won't have the traction that you need for the car to remain straight. And so they'll wind up in the ditch or at the bottom of the hill or something like that, and then they can't get up. They don't know how to drive up the hill. And they really have a problem, and it's about 80% Yankees. So there you go. Back to you, KB4QY.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Jim, and probably I do agree. I think of that down here in Florida with the snowbirds when they head down here, and they're used to some of the weather up there, and so they drive just about as crazy as they do up there. I lived up in the state of Michigan for a lot of years, and so, you know, I know how people drove up there. I would drive very slow, and they would just tear up the roads. And, you know, our assistant net manager has a comment here, and I think it's going to be about his new vehicle and that he'll know how to drive in it. He's got this brand new vehicle, Jim. I think it's a Nissan Frontier. I'm not sure if that's what it is. But it's a super cab, and it has a nice cherry red, and he's looking for a big snowstorm so he can get out and do some of that traveling in it. But let me call way up to Syracuse and see what his comment may be this morning. And yes, Mr. One Indy, I have you added to my list, so you're there. But let me see what your comment may be, Gary, or maybe you want to wait till the end of the list. So KC2RMO, come aboard.
Well, let me just add that it has four-wheel drive and a 261 horsepower V6. But you know, and I am waiting for the snow. But that's that. I did want to comment on Jim the culpability of Yankees in this sort of a situation. You have to remember that, you know, Yankees go south and then they got all Dixie-fied, you see, and they lose their driving skills, and that's what happens. And you need to keep or at least send Yankees back home for a little bit, you know, just to keep them in tune with their roots, and then they go back down, have fun in the sun, and they don't quite forget all their driving skills anyway. But the worst. See, we have a similar situation like that here, where we're, you know, an hour away from Canada, you know, is the Canadians. Canadians, oh my God, you think you've got trouble with snowbirds. But anyway, we'll save that for more probably later in the net. Right now we'll go back to you, Cats. KC2RMO.
Cute comment, Gary. Dixified. That's really an interesting word. I don't think I've ever heard that before. And maybe some of our check-ins will have a comment about Dixified. And we're not getting off track here at all. We're talking about winter. And once our check-ins are through, Gary will be coming aboard, talking a little bit about winter before we get into trivia. We're actually waiting for the arrival of our guest speaker. He's having a little problem getting here. So that's one reason we're going into winter a little bit this morning. And this little groundhog has one of those special smartphones, and he likes to text, and so he's going to text me when he gets a little bit closer. So that's why we're going into winter. So with that, Mr. Bud, up there in Indianapolis, I thank you for joining us again this morning. I appreciate your comments last night. Hope that you enjoyed the program, and hope that you enjoyed this one as well. So, Mr. Bud, ILG, come aboard. Share your comments this morning about winter, Groundhog Day. Now, don't tell us what's happening up there if you have one of those groundhogs, because we don't want to let everyone know what's going to happen. But, Bud, come aboard.
I think this is my hot spot. Do you like my lower voice there, Kathy? Which voice do you like? This is my Sunday church voice. Speaking of birthdays and Atlanta, I think, I'm a fan of Mr. Garrison Keillor, one of my colleagues. And let's see if I can do this without messing up. My silly computer just told me it was 10:26. James Dickey was born in 1923 in Atlanta. He wrote Deliverance. Oh, Elizabeth Rosenbaum was his wife. Oh, now maybe she was another birthday person. James Joyce's birthday
an Irish guy. In case you didn't know it, Kathy, I am Irish through and through. And by the way, this is my wish for you. May your life, everybody, and especially Kathy, I need to straighten up, don't I? May your luck be like the capital of Ireland, always Dublin. Good luck, Dublin, young lady. And then I got a poem here that I need to cue up, which was kind of interesting. Oh, winter. In January, Mr. Four-Wheel Drive fella, we had 27 inches of snow in January, and the most we had on the ground was about 14 inches at one time, but we were advised to not get on the streets unless it was absolutely necessary. Oh, and I was walking back in the rain yesterday, and a nice African-American girl, I never know what to call people anymore, gave us an umbrella. This friend of mine and I are walking in the rain. I got a cartload of Super Bowl stuff, like Coca-Cola, etc., etc. And she stopped her car and gave us an umbrella to walk home with. So there are nice people, folks, in the racing capital of the world. So are you ready for me to try this poem, Kathy? I wish I could play Garrison, but I'm not too sure how legal or kosher that is. Oh, speaking of kosher and California and etc., I like to spend Hanukkah in Santa Monica. And let's see, what is it? Oh, Yom Kippur in Mississippi. K9ILG, I'm just having way too much fun.
All right, thanks for being here this morning, Bud, and thanks for your well wishes, and I am Irish as well, so that was special. Yeah, go ahead and share your poem with us, and as we continue this morning, and we have a couple more check-ins before I actually call in Gary to continue, but go ahead and share that poem with us.
Okay, let's see here. I think it's David Shoemate wrote this poem. It's really neat. 100 years from now, I'm sorry I won't be around 100 years from now. I'd like to see how it all turns out. I'd like to see what kind of languages you're speaking. What country is swaggering across the globe? If your medicines cure what ails us now. Oh, and how intelligent your children are when they parachute down through the womb. I guess I can say that. I just did. Have you invented new vegetables? Oh! Have you trained spiders to do your bidding? Oh, and are baseball and opera combined? Oh, 100 years ago, my grandfather was delivered by a doctor in a horseless carriage. Do you still have horses? Let's see here, we're... That's it. I did the best I could, and that's all I can do. I think I'm still on the air. I think I'm popping in and out. Anyway, this is the Still Crazy After All These Years, K9ILG.
Well, thank you so much, Bud, for sharing that short poem with us and for being here this morning, and hopefully you'll enjoy the rest of the program as you listen. Ah, you were popping in and out, but that's fine. So I'm going to break with you, Bud, and I'm going to pick up LCB, not too far from my direction, and see what his comments are this morning as we continue with our program on Groundhog Day and winter time. And this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, along with KC2 RMO. So George, please come aboard.
Good morning, Kathy. KW4, Lima, Charlie, Bravo. Yes, ma'am, I did listen to the Ned last night there and remotely. And what can I say? From me to you, I believe every word I heard. You are special. You're great, and I appreciate what you do. Let me say this about subject at hand. Old groundhog, what can I say? If you're hungry, that sucker tastes pretty good. Never did put too much stock in the groundhog experience there. Let me pause for the calls to make sure I get a good look at this clock here. Yeah, okay. Let me put a little bit of a conchology on this thing here as I understand it there. And well, as you know, I say I'm a Heinz 57 variety. You know, my bloodline, it crosses many, many fields. Even learned a while back I was Jewish. Mercy me. Nevertheless, El Nino, it seems like we're just waiting around for them to get together, you know. Maybe put a little bit of lime in the coconut and make it all right, and we have that to continue with. But we as a human race, we just make it a whole lot easier for the destructions, what we do to the environment, the buildings. You know, years back, where you didn't have the obstructions that the different climates face today, or the non-obstructions in areas where the different winds was obstructed. Life changes moment by moment, so, you know, that's why, you know, many times I have stood in the sunshine and 20 feet away it was pouring down rain, you know. And I mentioned before, I have watched fish just drop out of the sky, you know. So things change by moment. Let me pause here. And you know, as I see them there, the way, and we just don't stop and think, you know, really, we don't stop and think about the ripples we cause there. And, old Jim, I might jump around here, but I got to do it while it's still fresh, my friend there. I tell you what, man, a few of you Georgie people sure scared the hell out of me coming down them bridges, that all gets back to the same subject. People is just not aware of their environment, or the people, that is affected by when they come into our environment. Look what they done to Key West, you know. But nevertheless, we've let them do it, and it's for the simple reason we've got too many other things on our mind that we feel that's more important to deal with than the issues at hand. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo. Thank you, ma'am.
Well, thank you, George, for being here this morning. Thanks for your nice, kind words about last night. But I just received a message from Mr. Groundhog. He heard what you were saying, George. He's got some comments for you. He says, please don't eat him. And he says, you know, he doesn't eat humans, so he does not want you to be eating him. And he's still en route, but he's getting closer and closer. So we're going to continue with our program, and we're going to pick up Mr. One India. in Danbury, Connecticut, and see what he has for us this morning.
Well, good. Oh, God. Good morning, Kathy, Gary, George. What can I say about all this? My goodness. WQ1I here in Danbury, Connecticut, and I'm laughing my face off. We have, it's sunny out, I'll say that. It's 34 degrees, so it's a little bit colder than yesterday. Now, I guess it's not going to get as warm as it was. But I don't know which is better. At first I thought I had to say something to Jim about the Yankees being the ones causing the pileups down south there when the snow falls. And all along, I had always assumed it was because these Southerners have no clue about how to drive in the snow. Turns out it's us Yankees who always drive in the snow, just don't know how to drive in the Dixie snow. My goodness. Dixie-fied, that was a good one. But I just fell off of the chair here when George said the Georgians come down and scare the hell out of him. So very enjoyable net so far this morning, Kathy. WQ1I back to next.
Well, Paul, I'm glad that you're enjoying, but just wait. The best is yet to come. You wait till we talk to that groundhog and what he has to share with us. And I hope that you won't fall off your chair when you listen to some of those comments. But thanks for being here this morning, and thanks for your nice words last evening as well. So hopefully you'll enjoy us as we continue with our program. But at this point, I'm going to call on Mr. Gary to continue. He's going to tell you a little bit about winter, and then we're going to give you some trivia questions. And by that time, Mr. Groundhog, if he hasn't fallen out of his chair and his cart or whatever he's driving, will be here so that we can talk to him. So with that, Gary, how about coming aboard and telling us about winter?
Hey, thanks, Kathy. I think the groundhog drives an Amish buggy. Because if you look at where Punxsutawney is located, it's in that kind of Lancaster, Bucks County area, or, you know, part of Pennsylvania anyway, around Lancaster, I guess, somewhere around there. It's somewhere in that vicinity, center of the state type of a thing. So I expect he has his hands on an Amish buggy. And I'm certainly not gonna spill the beans on the results. But I did have the occasion to see Punxsutawney Phil this morning at the determination, I guess you could say, of what's going to be happening here for the rest of the winter. And that little town had 30,000 plus people in there to see what was happening. That's a big event. So I don't know. Got to get down there one of these years and see what's going on with that, because it looked pretty cool. But what we do have right now is some winter related facts. Okay, these are little facts, little tidbits about winter that we'll pass along to you. So here we go. About 70% of winter storm-related deaths occur in automobiles. Did you know that? The rest are primarily due to heart attacks from overexertion, such as shoveling heavy snow, or from hypothermia that can cause by overexposure to the cold. When winter storms strike, stay indoors, keep warm and dry, avoid overexertion. Your heart is already working hard in the cold to keep your body warm. So the best thing to do is not to run out in the middle of the storm and try to clear the driveway. Sit down, have a little cup of warm cocoa, and when it's all over, get out and dig out slowly. That's the way to do it. Let me just buy a nickel. The winter of, this goes way back in history, of 1779 through 1780 was so cold that ice was piled up, now if you're ready for this, 20 feet high along the Delaware, Maryland coast, and stayed there until spring. Now, 20 feet high, that's as tall as a house. The upper portion of the Chesapeake Bay and the entire Potomac River was frozen solid. People were able to walk from Annapolis to Kent Island and from Alexandria, that's where my daughter lives, into D.C. This winter, it's a long walk too. This winter in Washington, the National Weather Service expects a warmer than normal December. Well, we already had that. And the overall winter period through March would be about normal temperatures. But I think that that forecast is revised a little bit. I think that is going to be revised has been revised downward so that we really are to expect colder than normal temperatures at this point. About 50% of deaths caused by exposure to cold are people 60 years of age or older. Over 75% of these deaths are to men. And about 20% of the deaths occur in the home. And finally, people over age 60 and children less than a year old are susceptible to the cold. For these people, keep indoor temperatures above 69 degrees Fahrenheit. And when going outside, dress appropriately for the cold. Have plenty of layers of clothes. And just what your mom always told you, put a hat on your head. And that's true. It really does, because your head is just like a chimney. All the heat goes out through the head. And if you wear a hat, you're going to be warmer. So some little facts about winter and about keeping warm. And we've got more stuff to go. And we'll pass it along to Kathy right now. How about doing some trivia? This is KC2RMO. Going back to you, Kat.
All right. Thank you so much, Gary. But you know, I don't have to worry about the hat. I don't own a hat. Don't have a lot of layers of clothing to worry about. When I head out for school, it's usually short sleeves, a dress, maybe some capris. It's always sandals. So not having to worry about any of that. Temperature, even when it was cooler, I wasn't really that bundled up. So it used to be just what you said, because I'm over 60, but not anymore in the state of Florida. You know, let me do a couple trivia questions and then turn to you for a couple, because I understand Mr. Groundhog is getting closer and closer. And then we're going to throw this open out there to our audience. We'd like you to come aboard and answer these questions. They have to do with winter. You know, I think Mr. Groundhog is starting to appear at my house, but we'll go through these anyways, just to give him time to relax and get situated and settled before we call on him. So here's some trivia for you. Here's the first question. And which of the following are not affected by the wind chill? Now all of you further up north should be able to come aboard with this. Which of the following is not affected by wind chill? A person, a dog, a car radiator, or a bird? Any check-ins at this point?
This is QY.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
All right, I'm going to take these two check-ins so we can move along. Mr. Jim, what do you think the answer to this trivia question is?
Well, I'm going to choose the car radiator, because everything else that I listed is a blood type, might as well say animal, because they were animals too. But anyway, he would be affected by wind chill, but car radiator wouldn't be. Over.
Okay, let's see what Rick has to say up there in Ohio, VXP. What is your choice for this question? Which of the following is not affected by wind chill? Person, dog, car radiator, or bird?
This is N1 VXP. You know, it's funny you mentioned about the car radiator, but yet I've seen people that do have problems. So I begin to wonder if maybe the fact that the birds tend to find a way around it, but they, I would say probably the birds, because the car radiator, I've seen people have problems that they, sometimes in the winter they have to block up part of the radiator to help keep the warmth in. So I would say probably birds. They're probably smart enough to know to avoid windy times, and at times when you don't see them around, you say, where are they? You know they're not out flying around in the cold weather, and They tend to fly high enough to avoid some of the ground wind chills. N1TXP back to net control.
All right. Thank you so much, Jim and Rick. Actually, the correct answer is car radiator. You know, the wind chill is the combination of wind and temperature and is based on the rate of heat loss from the exposed skin, such as that of a person or an animal. As the wind increases, heat is carried away from the body at an accelerated rate, driving the body temperature down. Wind chill has no effect on cars or other objects. You know, thinking of a car radiator, though, if it's a lot of wind chill and you're in need of that battery, maybe that car wouldn't start. So, I don't know. George thought it could have been the bird or the dog, but that may be him being funny. Here's my final trivia, and then I'll throw it over to you, Gary. On the average, 1 inch of rain is equivalent to how many inches of snow? Once again, on the average, 1 inch of rain is equivalent to how many inches of snow? We have 10 inches, 1 inch, 5 inches, and a foot. Anyone out there want to take a stab at that answer?
ILG.
Well, it looks like I have only one that I really recorded, but I think QY came aboard. So I'll pick both ILG and QY up. And this one reads, on the average, 1 inch of rain is equivalent to how many inches of snow? 10, 1, 5, or a foot. So ILG, please come aboard.
Well, I thank you, Kathy. I got to get a decent radio here. I'm using an HT, so I'm going to buy a mobile radio so I will be able to read with one finger and hold the mic with the other and see if I could do my poems better. I think that's a neat poem. Well, not only being in the racing capital of the world and being in the city where we had 27 inches of snow in January, it is a foot. Oh, and the other question is, let's see, how do I do this? Usted habla español, señorita? Señorita Kathy?
Well, Bud, I'm not sure what you asked me, but señorita I know is miss. I seem to be having some breakups in my system. I may have to throw this over to Gary for a few moments and reconnect. I'd like to know from anyone out there if they're hearing breakups from myself, because I'm getting very few conversations as you come back aboard. So, ILG, what was your answer to this question? On the average, 1 inch of rain is equivalent to how many inches of snow? Back to you, Mr. Bud.
Okay, it's 1 foot. And what I said was, not only is this the racing capital of the world, but it's one of the snowiest places. We did have 27 inches in January, so it's 1 foot. Oh, and I asked you, do you speak Spanish? That was the other thing I asked. K9ILG, Speedway City.
I think your question was, do I speak Spanish? I understand Spanish. Know quite a bit of the language, but don't speak it too often. So that answers your question. Well, let me move on to you, VSP, I believe, QY, and see what your answer to this question is. Then I'm going to throw it to Gary, and I'm actually going to disconnect and reconnect because I seem to be having breakups in each and every one of you. So with that, Jim, what's your answer to this question? How much rain is equivalent to how 1 inch of rain is equivalent to how many inches of snow?
Well, Cassie, that's one that I knew for a long time from school. I did go to school, believe it or not. I don't act like it very much, but I went to school, and they used to tell me it was 6 inches. But that has been modified now, and I believe the correct answer is 5 inches of snow equals 1 inch of rain or water. Go ahead.
Well, actually, the correct answer is 10 inches. 10 inches of snow melts down to about 1 inch of liquid rain, and that was when I had that lots of rain here a couple weeks ago. We had about 10 inches of rain, and that was equivalent to, they said, 4 feet of snow. So 10 inches of snow melts down to an inch of liquid rain. So with that, Gary, I'm going to throw it your direction for the two trivia questions. I'm going to disconnect and reconnect, and hopefully my connection will be a little better than what I'm hearing currently. So, Gary, I'm going to turn it over to you as you continue on with the program.
All right, Kathy, thank you. And I know they used to ask me, can you speak Spanish? And I'd always reply, just enough to get arrested. And we'll be standing by here waiting for you to come back in. So we'll continue with our trivia right now. And, you know, for those of us here in the Northeast who go south to get Dixie Fines, here in the Northeast, this is something that's pretty common to us. But as you go a little further south and you get into the Mid-Atlantic area, it gets a little more interesting. So which of the following impacts can Maryland and Virginia expect from a great nor'easter? It's a common storm here in this part of the country, but here's your options. A, heavy snow. B, high winds. C, coastal flooding. D, a blizzard. E, all of the above. And F, none of the above. So if you're in the Mid-Atlantic region, Maryland and Virginia, what can you expect if the weather guy comes on and says we're expecting a nor'easter? We'll take some check-ins right now. Let's hear from you on the Sunday Morning Rag 2. Okay. Nobody venturing a guess on that. We'll throw it out there one more time. Okay. Again, if you're in the Mid-Atlantic area, in the Mid-Atlantic region of the country, and for instance, Maryland and Virginia, what kind of weather could you expect from a nor'easter? Would it be heavy snow, high winds, coastal flooding, a blizzard, all of the above, or none of the above? Let's see if we have any answers. We'll take check-ins right now.
Victor Hotel.
Quebec Yankee.
Okay, we had a couple that time around. And Steve, I liked your comment on Yankee snow or Dixie snow. So come on aboard, and what do you think? If you're in the Mid-Atlantic region, what would you expect to see from a nor'easter?
Well, good morning, Gary. Good morning, everyone. The born and raised Southerners don't even realize there's more than one type of snow. A nor'easter means that the storm has winds coming from the northeast off the water. So you could have flooding, you could have heavy rain in the winter months, you could have snow, you could have anything, any type of storm weather with the winds from the northeast. KF5VH.
It's funny, Steve, around here, what we get is we get impacted with nor'easters, you know, as do many locations in this part of the country. But we also have unique to us here in Syracuse is actually a nor'wester or a nor'-nor'wester, which sets up the perfect flow for the lake effect, and that's where we get the bulk of the 120 inches of snow that we get a year. Is from the Great Lakes, so we'll get our storm snow from the nor'easters, and then we get that that extra bonus of lake effect, which puts us between 120 and 140 for a season. So we'll put you down for all of the above. We will go to our buddy Jim, Quebec Yankee. What do you say there, sir, and good morning.
K4, Quebec Yankee. I'm going with winds. It may have snow or rain and all of the above, but the nor'easter means wind, a heavy wind, and of course it would be out of the northeast. That's where I saw northeast nor'easter. So I agree. It's high winds out of the northeast.
Well, that is part of the whole deal, Jim. But it's a component of the whole thing. But according to here, the correct answer is all of the above, that if you're in that particular part of the country, and that's true with any nor'easter, really, you're going to see all of those components, particularly A and D, where you have heavy snow and a blizzard. And of course, a blizzard contains high wind. By definition, it has to be above, I think, 35 miles an hour to make it a blizzard. But you're going to have that as a component of it. But the correct answer, Steve had it, was with all of the above. Nor'easters cause high winds and flooding along the coast and heavy snow and sometimes blizzard conditions inland over the greater metropolitan Washington area. Remember, we were talking in this particular case about Virginia and Maryland. Nor'easters are responsible for the area's most hazardous winter weather, and they're severe, obviously, wherever you encounter a nor'easter. If you're on the coast, it's a particularly hazardous storm. So we have that one, and we have another one for you too right now. And this is an interesting question. So this think about this one just a little bit. And the question is, what is more hazardous to trees and power lines? Two choices. A, 1 inch of snow, 1 inch of wet snow, or B, 1 inch of ice. What's the greater hazard of the two? An inch of wet snow or 1 inch of ice? We will take your answers right now. We're doing some check-ins on the Sunday Morning Rag Chews.
Juliet Alpha Kilo.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
Lima Charlie Bravo.
Yep. Easy. Inland Derby.
Okay. We've got four good ones that time around, so that's great. J-A-K, hello there, Jack, and good morning to you. How say you, 1 inch of wet snow or 1 inch of ice?
Well, good morning, Gary, and good morning, South Cars. And I'm going to say 1 inch of ice because, in my head, okay, the 1 inch of snow, the snow's going to sit on top. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to wrap around, so that way it'll be on top of it. But the 1 inch of ice, you know, when you get your ice storm, it totally encases it completely. So you got that 1 inch of ice all the way around it, whereas the snow is just on top of it. So I'm going to say the ice is more of a hazard. Back to you, Gary.
Spoken like a true master electrician. We will put you down for ice, and let's see how that plays out. We'll move along to Ohio. And hello there, Rick. VXP, come on aboard.
This is N1TXP. Yeah, I definitely agree, 1 inch of ice. If I'm not mistaken, I heard something, 1 inch of ice over a span of the power line can add quite a bit of weight to the wire itself. That's why they tend to break. I'm not sure the exact weight on it, but something tells me it's something like 500, either 500 pounds or 1,000 pounds over a span of power line that 1 inch of ice adds on there. And 1VXP, back to net control.
Okay, Rick. Well, we'll put you down for ice as well. So it's two for ice so far. Let's see how George weighs in. LCB, hello there, sir.
Well, good morning, Gary. Thank you, sir. Yeah, I like to chime in on the ice part of it there also there, and especially, you know, trees after they being saturated with water and freeze, and your ice builds up. That's a lot of weight, and especially if you got them hanging over power lines, it's already inundated with their own ice buildup. But I did want to flash back to your last question, which I kind of went my thinking, but all above. You know, as far as to when, you know, it's whatever time of year, you know, that condition presents itself. You know, if it's a one at a time, and the way those bands are feeding, if it pulls that cold air and ice and all, well, you know, here it's blizzard time, you know. If it's in the summertime, you know, it's going to pull you something else, you know. So as to you know, Jim's question, you know, I think it all depends on what time of year you get that. KW4, Alima, Charlie Bravo, back to Net Control.
Hey, thanks, George. Yeah, I think there's some wisdom to that. You know, again, depends on when it hits, but I think in general what they were looking at was, you know, if you're within, say, the 3 months of traditional winter, that, you know, you could expect those things. So I think in that context is the way the question was written. But thank you, sir, and we will move along to ZIV. Come on aboard there, sir.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't come in right. I should have said ZIV. I'm trying to remember that. Anyway, it depends. I'm gonna answer your question with a question, if I may. I wonder if it depends on the. My answer is it depends on if it's Yankee snow or Dixie snow.
I think. I think they are referring to Yankee snow in this one, because I am assuming, which is one thing that you should never do, but I'm making the assumption here that the Dixie snow would melt quicker. So I'm going to say Yankee snow on this one. So how say you, sir? Is it an inch of ice or an inch of Yankee snow?
Anyway, this season is trying to make it fun. Well, on that case, I'll say Ashley was going to say, probably should have said, was that it depends on how wet the snow is. And I don't know. Just give me an answer, Dwayne. Don't analyze it. I'll go without the trend. Maybe I'm wrong. Snow. Since everybody said ice, I'll say snow. How about that? Inland enemy.
Hey, thank you. Well, Steve has an interesting observation if you look in the text box. And he says, 1 inch of ice on a residential power line is about 10 pounds per foot. 10 pounds per foot. 1 inch of ice, 10 pounds per foot. That's pretty heavy stuff. And the answer that we were looking for was 1 inch of ice. An inch of ice is heavier than wet snow and is hazardous enough to cause power lines and trees to come down. But thanks for everybody who took a shot at that. That's been fun so far. And now that we understand winter, are there any comments or further check-ins before we begin talking about our featured program this morning? Kathy, come on aboard, and I think you're all ready to go. You're rebooted and sounding good, so let's go to you. I will relinquish the net back to you, man. This is KC2RMO, back to the net.
Well, thank you so much, Gary, and hopefully everything is pretty much stable. I went off my IP address and went into a proxy, so hopefully everything's okay. But I was not hearing people at all. You may have been hearing me, but I wasn't hearing anyone. So Mr. Groundhog is sitting here next to me, and we've been talking about this rotten machine I'm having this morning, but I think we're all set to go. So, you know, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, so we better understand the animal. We're going to call on one of our groundhog friends who is sitting right here next to me. This is not Phil, this is not Pierre, and this is not Beauregard, but one of our other groundhog friends. We had to wait for Mr. Groundhog to eat his dinner, and so Gary really helped out. And we shared winter with you. We shared some trivia, but now we're going to talk to Mr. Groundhog. So, Mr. Groundhog, tell our listeners, what is a groundhog, and where are they found? And hopefully everyone will understand Mr. Groundhog, because he doesn't speak English, but come aboard, Mr. Groundhog.
Well, thank you, Kathy. It's English. Groundhog English, but it's still English, nonetheless. You know, groundhog is another name for woodchuck, which is what I am. A groundhog, of course, is an adorable furry animal that burrows beneath the ground. We dig dens underground where we sleep, tend our young, and hibernate during the winter. I should be sleeping right now, actually, but, you know, for a special occasion, I'll wake up. It's okay. Now, we're considered rodents among with squirrels and prairie dogs and chipmunks. Officially, we belong to the marmot family, and we are one of 14 known species of marmots. Our scientific name is Marmota monax. In groundhogese, that translates to marvelous mammal. Groundhogs are found in the garden, if we dare, but seriously, we can be found throughout North America, and particularly in the East. Our species ranges from the southeastern United States up through northern Canada and northwest to Alaska. We build our homes underground and often beneath sheds and decks, just like Gary's, patios and other structures which offer protection. Now, as for the garden, fear not. We eat the stuff that falls to the ground that people don't want anyway. Besides, by August, you'll still have more tomatoes and squash than you can possibly give away. So we'll go back to Kathy right now.
Well, thank you, Mr. Brownhog. But tell our audience what you look like. I can see you here right next to me, so I know what you look like. But maybe they don't. So why don't you share that with us?
Well, I keep waiting for Hollywood to call. But not to brag, we're quite adorable. We're about the size and weight of a cat, although we're far better looking. Our ears are small and round and cute. Our head is flat with a pointed snout, and our eyes and nose are black. Our fur is a cozy brown and gray, and our feet and tail are black. Now, in rare cases, our fur may be all black or all white, an albino groundhog. Our legs are short and strong, and we have sharp claws for digging and teeth for chewing. Now, I'm about 1.5 to 2 feet long, including my tail, which is about 1/4 of my body length. Some say that males are bigger than females, but that's not always the case. Our bodies are long, while our legs are short. Our teeth are white. We have great groundhog dentists. What color are your teeth? One problem is that we have our teeth keep growing. Now, if we don't wear them down from chewing, they can be very harmful to us, even fatal. So you see, we must chew, chew, chew. Our hind foot has 5 well-developed toes and measures 3 to 3.5 inches in length. Our front foot has only 4 fingers and a small thumb on the forepaw, which is barely visible. All fingers and toes also have claws. Back to you, Kat.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Groundhog. And I think maybe our audience is learning a little more about you. I'm going to ask you one more question, and then I'm going to throw it to the audience and see if they would like to share any questions with you, possibly, or maybe they just want to check in. But what do groundhogs eat? I think you told us about garden and that, but tell us what you may be eating at any particular time, Mr. Groundhog.
Well, I'm always glad to foster goodwill towards the groundhog community. Let's see, groundhogs like mostly vegetables. We're mostly vegetarians. We like fruits and vegetables of all kinds, and some of us will eat eggs. I'll take mine scrambled, please. I've also heard that some of us occasionally eat bugs. Yuck. Yeah, those are the uncouth groundhogs. Other than that, we're not meat eaters. Don't try to feed us hot dogs. We enjoy lettuce and tomatoes and cucumbers, corn, broccoli, carrots, apples, strawberries, cantaloupe, and a watermelon. Without the seeds, please. We also love a slice of bread once in a while. Pizza tastes good, but it really isn't good for us with the cheese and stuff. And when these special treats are scarce, we will eat a variety of wild plants, including grasses, clover, alfalfa, the leaves of certain trees like cherries, and certain flowers. We eat a lot because we need to put weight on to sustain us during hibernation. That's a fact, not an excuse. And again, I'll be going to sleep right after this nap. So we turn it back now to Net Control and Kathy, K6SUN.
Well, thank you, Mr. Groundhog. And at this point, we've learned a lot of information about the groundhog and Mr. Groundhog. But I'm going to throw it out there to our audience. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you just would like to say hi to Mr. Groundhog. Or maybe you'd just like to check in this morning. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November as your net control celebrating or giving you information on Groundhog Day in winter. So, do we have any check-ins this morning?
Ping Table 3, Boston Mary Sugar.
And I wish that person quit doubling over me.
All right, as far as I have, I think Boston Mary Sugar, and I have you, Todd, in Hawaii, DWF. I'm going to let it pause for a length of time. Do we have anybody else that would like to check in at this point? A lot of stations connected, and I'm surprised you don't have questions of Mr. Groundhog, or merely just want to check in this morning as we continue. Any other check-ins? Come aboard.
Juliet Alpha Kilo.
November 9th, or the Lunar Vision.
All right, I'm going to take these check-ins. I'll start with BMS. We have DWF, JAK, and ZIV at this point. That'll give Mr. Groundhog a little bit of chance just to sit here and relax. Take a sip of that water. And he does have some carrots and some broccoli here that he can chomp on until he has to speak once again. So BMS, please come aboard. Thanks for joining our Sunday morning rag chew. What are your comments this morning?
Good morning from KA3 BMS. I have some questions to ask of the Groundhog fellow. May I please?
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you. From KA3 BMS. Hey, Groundhog, have you ever been called a whistle pig or a land beaver? Or maybe, and how closely are you related to any of the other ground squirrels and marmots? I wonder, have you seen your cousin, Chewy Louie, from Shoebakersville, your Pennsylvania Dyson cousin? Groundhog, go ahead, from King Abel 3, Boston Mary Sugar.
Well, Kathy, I'll take that directly if you don't mind. I have been called a whistle pig, among other things. Those nicknames are common to my species, and indeed, we are all members of the marmot family. Ground squirrels, also, you know, we've been known as that too. Now, as far as the other members of the Pennsylvania family, we don't talk about those. They're the black sheep of the groundhog family. So we kind of don't want to spread the word on that. Back to net control. This is the groundhog.
All right. Does that answer your question, KA3 BMS? And hopefully it does. Thanks for being here this morning. I'll throw it back to you before we move on.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And as far as Mr. Groundhog, you ain't much if you're not Dutch. You just ain't much if you ain't Dutch. That doesn't scrapple. From on Pennsylvania, Dutcherville. And Net Control, have a nice day. Please, best wishes, and take care. From King Abel 3, Boston Mary Sugar. Bring me summer.
All right, thanks so much for joining our Sunday night rag chew, and I'm sure everyone is hoping for spring and summer. And in a little bit, we'll share what the groundhogs have told us, and they are not the same. So hopefully summer will come for you very, very soon. Of course, right now it's very nice down here in southern Florida. So with that, I'm going to call on Todd, DWF in Hawaii. And Todd, sometimes we cannot, we have no control over the doubling. Sometimes it's just people getting there faster. But you are here this morning, and I did see you key up. So what would you like to share with Mr. Groundhog this morning? Or maybe you have a question for him. WH6DWF, come aboard.
Aloha, Kathy, and congrats for 3 years as net manager. And I don't have a use for a groundhog, at least not this year. We broke all kinds of record cold here with that Arctic air here. We're used to 85-degree weather and 78 degrees at night. But last week we had 65 during the day and down to the 40s at night. That is way too cold. Colder than I could ever remember it here in Hawaii. So maybe next year we'll need a groundhog. Don't know if we're going to an ice age or not. But this is very unusual for us to get Arctic air down here in Hawaii. And it's actually very troublesome. But anyway, I hope everyone enjoys their Super Bowl Sunday and hope their favorite team wins. With that, this is WH60WF. Back to Net Control. Aloha.
Well, thank you so much, Todd, for joining us this morning. And it's too bad about the Arctic air. It's been here in Florida, not quite as cold, a little further north, but we've been down in the 30s at night, some areas in the 20s, and further north they've been cold. But it's only short-lived for us, not like it is for those further up north in the Arctic air. But thanks for joining us this morning. Hopefully you'll have a wonderful day and enjoy your Super Bowl day as well, and enjoy the rest of the week. So with that, I'm going to call on Mr. Jack, Fort Pierce, Florida. See if he has a comment of our woodchuck friend, or maybe he just wants to check in this morning with the Sunday Morning Rag 2 K4JAK. Please come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and good morning. Good morning again. Good morning, South Cars. And good morning to the groundhog. Kind of raised the hackles on the back of my neck there when describing himself. I say he's self-centered and conceited. Thinks he's better looking than a cat. I don't think so. Kind of aggravates me. But then again, you know, hey, what can you say? Somebody that all they eat is veggies? I don't know now. I don't know. By the way, groundhog, I don't know where you're at, but sounds like you're way up north somewhere where it's cold. It's 80 degrees down here, groundhog. Come on back and talk to me. K4JAK.
Well, Jack, I have to tell you, you know, don't substitute or don't mistake groundhog pride as anything approaching conceit. We're simply very proud of our rodent good looks. So you just have to take it with a grain of salt. Now, as far as it being 80 degrees down there, we have a nice thick fur coat, and it probably would be a bit warm for that then too. So unless I got a summer fur cut, it probably wouldn't be a good time to visit. But I will tell you this, as far as our feline friends are concerned, I believe it's on the Hallmark Channel today, you can watch the Kitten Bowl. That will be it too. So in addition to the Super Bowl, you can watch the Kitten Bowl as well. So I'll pass that along. But thank you for your kind comments, sir, and we'll turn it back to the net. This is the Groundhog.
And actually, Mr. Groundhog right now he's sharing some of this warmth with us. You know, he's beside me here, and he's not having any problems, and the door is open, and it's cool for him, but I bet you he's just anxious to get back to some of those cool temperatures. So, Jack, thanks for being here and coming aboard this morning and talking to Mr. Groundhog. I bet you he's just going to have a lot of fun sharing this with Mrs. Groundhog when he gets home. ZIV, Duane, please come aboard. You have a question or a comment of our guest speaker this morning, or you just want to come back aboard? And hopefully everyone is enjoying listening to this story about the groundhog, because maybe many of us do not understand about the groundhog. So ZIV, Duane, come aboard.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Cat, I should say. I'll talk to the groundhog. I love that. That was great. Mr. Groundhog. Seed. I mean, why don't you eat the seeds of the watermelon? Is what I wonder. And then did it eat?
Well, personally, it's a personal issue. I have diverticulosis, you know. I can't touch the things, you know. But most groundhogs simply just don't prefer the seeds. Enjoy the watermelon without it, or discard the seeds as we eat it. But we do love watermelon. That's a fact. So If you want to leave some out for us or point us in the direction of a watermelon, we're always happy to see it. Back to the net. This is the Groundhog.
All right. Thank you, all our check-ins with all those interesting questions of Mr. Groundhog. You know, I know he's probably getting tired and ready to head back home, but we have a lot of other questions we want to ask you, Mr. Groundhog, because it's interesting history and information I'm sure that most of us don't know. We know about the Groundhog Day, but we're not sure what your dens look like and how do you hibernate. So my question is, what are groundhog dens like, and how do you hibernate? Mr. Groundhog, come back aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and I did want to point out that it's just great here to be with you. It's nice to be, although a little warm with this fur coat, but you keep the house nice and cool, so that's fine, you know. But as far as my den, we actually have two dens, a winter den and a summer den. Now, our winter dens are usually built in dry, wooded areas. They're several feet deep and are used for hibernation. Summer dens are built near grassy areas where food is plentiful. They're usually 2 to 4 feet deep. Now, if possible, we build our summer dens under barns or sheds or other structures. This offers us protection from predators. Our burrows typically have two entrances or more, one main entrance and a peephole or an escape route. Now, inside there are separate dens for sleeping and nursing and potty facilities. We're all very clean animals, and we like to keep our dens clean. In fact, we carpet them with leaves, and we wipe our feet before entering. We usually leave our summer dens by late August or early September to find our winter dens. We begin our hibernation in late September or October. Now, during hibernation, we fall into a very deep sleep. And when it gets really cold, our body temperature will drop down to just below freezing. Our heart rate and our breathing slows way down. Why Groundhog Day is celebrated on February 2nd? I don't know. I really don't know. They just did it. We don't emerge from hibernation until March or sometimes even April in colder areas. Now, remember, if the ground is white, we are out of sight. Back to the net from the Groundhog.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Groundhog. And tell us, how long do groundhogs live? That is, unless they get run over by a car or they get in those traps that a lot of people like to set because you're destroying their nice lawns. Tell us how long groundhogs live.
Well, if George doesn't put me in a stew, we can live for several years. However, most of us live a very short life, unfortunately. If people would just drive a little slower, we'd stand a chance. It's true that many of us get hit by cars. In addition, I understand that many groundhogs do not survive hibernation. I guess some winters are just too long and too cold. And some groundhogs don't put on enough fat to sustain us until spring. As for me, I'm pretty smart. I eat well, so expect to see me around for a while. I make the rounds and get as much food as I can in the summer. So back to the net. This is the Groundhog.
All right, Mr. Groundhog, that was interesting information. But, you know, before I ask you the next question, we have one of our board members, and I think a couple board members, that have a question of you. So I'm going to go away from the questions right now and call on each of them. First is One India, and then we have Mr. George, LCB. You know, he's the one that wants to put you in the stew. So let me first call on One India. This is Paul. He's up there in Danbury, Connecticut, in the cold area up north. You know, you've probably been through his area, you know, in your travels. So let me call on him first and see what his question of you. WQ1I, come aboard.
WQ1I, with a question for the Groundhog. First, though, Mr. Groundhog, I would venture to say that the mortality rate of being hit by cars is probably due to all those Georgian drivers who come up north and don't know how to look out for animals on the side of the road. But my question for you had to do with, your abilities and skills in meteorology and predicting the weather. And I was wondering about your qualifications. Did you by any chance get a degree in meteorology from, say, University of Syracuse or something? I'm just curious about that.
Well, thank you, Paul. Certainly, we keep an eye out for those Georgia plates. It's usually just a bad scene whenever one of those come by. So we do like to get out of the way and in a hurry too. As far as meteorology goes, it's certainly been a long tradition in the groundhog community to have a son or daughter grow up to be a meteorologist. And yes, there is a fine school for meteorology at Syracuse University. They offer a special groundhog scholarship, and it's a great honor for any young groundhog to find themselves the recipient of that. So we'll go back to the net. This is the groundhog.
Well, Paul, WQ1I, did that answer your question thoroughly, or do you have another question of the groundhog?
I'm so like off.
No, Kathy, that was fine.
Okay. Well, Paul, WQ1I, I didn't hear much response besides laughing, so I guess I'll go beyond you. And I think I heard someone coming through the down in the Keys. I'm not sure if that was Paul, you down there. I didn't hear too much, but I'll pick you up after I pick up George LCB. This is the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. We're talking about Groundhog Day, and we're talking about winter, and right now we're talking to Mr. Groundhog, a visitor to my home. Because I wanted everyone to know a little bit about the groundhog and their life and things that happen. And if you do have a question of the groundhog, he's just grinning from ear to ear because he's just so happy. Everyone is so interested in his life and what he looks like and what he eats. So, Mr. LCB, please come aboard. And then, Paul, if that was you, I'll pick you up after George comes aboard. Please come aboard, George.
Well, thank you, Kathy. K6SUN, KW4, Lima, Charlie, Bravo. Kathy, I was sitting back there and wondering about this groundhog. And let me say about baking that a sucker up or a fry him up or whatever it takes to make it good. I only do things like that in a survival state back in the day of scratching times when you didn't have it in the hip. The good Lord put it out there for you to survive, and now I could enjoy seeing him one side of the road just chug-a-lugging along. But so that's how that is. But I was having a thought about this groundhog and this den, you know, after he got his old belly full and nice and plump there and settled down and went in that deep sleep. I just wonder if anybody ever just kind of dug that rascal up and took him to Florida and got him out there on one of them old sandy white beaches and excavated a part there and just kind of fit that old his little old castle down in there. And well, I guess you have to give him a little shot of something to keep that rascal asleep. But I tell you what, that would be a mind-blowing experience for that rascal when he woke up. KW40, my Charlie Anna Bravo.
Well, George, I simply have to say this. Why can't we all just get along? I think the words of Mahatma Gandhi are particularly appropriate in this juncture when he said, "It is not for who the groundhog stews; it stews for these, for thee." Back to the net. This is the groundhog.
Well, thank you, Mr. Groundhog, and thank you, Paul, and thank you, George, for your comments. We're going to let him take another sip of that water, and he's eating some carrots and some broccoli, and he actually has a piece of watermelon and cantaloupe, so we're going to let him have a little bit of breather here, and see if that was you, Paul, down in the Keys. or anyone else that would like to come aboard and check in this morning, or maybe ask a question of the groundhog. He can put down his food if you have a question of him. So is that you, Paul, down in the Keys, and would you like to come aboard?
Yes, this is W1 Golf Zulu Echo. Yeah, I just tuned across, and when I came in and started listening, I just caught the end of a call, and I thought it was BCS, Boston, Canada, Spain. I'm not sure if it was 3 or what it was. I was interested in what the total call was and who it was.
Well, Paul, I think the full call sign was KA3BMS. He was coming through Newtown Square. So it's KA3BMS. Back to you, Paul.
Okay. Thank you very much. I misread it. And the main reason I was interested was because BCS was an old friend of mine. I believe he's a silent T. He must be, because I'm 90 and he was a little bit older than I am. So when I heard the call and I thought it was his, I thought, boy, maybe they reissued his call or something. So thank you very much. Been listening about the groundhog there. We get our knowledge from watching the movie Groundhog Day. Hi. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Paul, for joining us. And thank you, Second Paul and George, for your questions and your comments. And actually, the Groundhog movie, I think if we have time, my backup is going to actually talk about that. But we're going to continue questioning Mr. Groundhog. But first, we're going to see if we have any check-ins this morning. If you've been connected and you haven't checked in just yet, or you have a question of Mr. Groundhog, we sure hope that you'll come aboard. And then a little bit later, we're going to talk about whether we have 6 more weeks of winter or spring is right around the corner. And that's coming up. So are there any further check-ins at this point? If so, come aboard. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November and the Sunday Morning Rag Tube.
Victor Hotel.
6, Victor.
All right, I see we have 2 check-ins, Victor Hotel and 6 Victor. And Steve, I got the report on Pierre, but don't share that quite yet. Hopefully you'll still be there when we share that. And 6 Victor, I was wondering about you. Hope both of you gentlemen are enjoying the program thus far and enjoying listening to Mr. Groundhog. So, Victor Hotel, Mr. Steve, I enjoyed your new picture on the website. Anyone that's looked at that probably already knows, as you well know. So come aboard and ask your question to Mr. Groundhog or just check in this morning.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Good morning. I wondered if the groundhog had a comment on non-groundhog weather prognosticators that operate on Groundhog's Day, like the Pierre C. Chadeau in New Iberia, Louisiana. Whoops, KF5VH.
Well, I'll certainly say this, that everybody's entitled to an opinion, but there really is only one official groundhog source, and that is Punxsutawney Phil, of course, the official spokesman for the weather prognosticating groundhog community. So we will have his determination coming up a little bit later on in the net. As far as the others go, you can take them with a grain of salt, but if you want the real deal, it's got to come from Phil. Back to the net, this is the groundhog.
Well, Steve, any further comments? Did that answer your question? And I think that's the groundhog's personal opinion. But, I think there's prognosticators throughout the country in different areas. So, Steve, did that answer your question?
It answers the question, but I think I'm going to root for the home team, KF5VH.
And I know why, Steve, and I know why. I know what happened in both areas, and they were both quite different. And I know all of you who live up in the north with the cold weather sure would like spring to come. Don't want to see six more weeks of winter. So we'll see what the reports are from both areas. So thank you, Mr. Groundhog, and thank you, Steve. So, Mr. Six Victor, do you have a question of our groundhog? He's going to talk to us about how he selects mates, how they court, how they stay together, and the sounds they make. And he's going to share a little more with us. So hopefully everyone will stay connected to listen to. Because I think it's better that we hear from this groundhog versus, Pucks the Handy Phil's prediction. So, Six Victor, what would you like to share with us this morning?
Well, good morning, Kathy, and thank you very much, and good morning, Mr. Groundhog. This is Gordon, KY6V, here in Central Florida. I've been with you from the start, enjoying it immensely, smiling and laughing from time to time, and I've got the recordings going here on several machines, so this will go down in history, I can tell you that. I will say that I got up about 7 o'clock our time, Eastern time this morning, and I thought I saw my shadow, Kathy, so I went back to bed, and I didn't get back up till about 9 o'clock, but well in time for the net. Mr. Groundhog, welcome to South Car, sir, number one. Number two, you probably have heard that I try to administer a fairly technical mind. And I'd like to know how you are talking with us here today. It's my understanding that you're with Kathy down in Vero Beach. However, when you speak, you're coming up under the call sign of Gary's system in Syracuse. So I am guessing that what you're doing is that you are running coming through a second computer at Kathy's and using a remote control program such as maybe VNC and coming through Gary's system up in Syracuse. Can you explain to me how that's happening, sir, or over?
Yes, I would be very glad to. Actually, you have the basic structure absolutely correct. What's going on is, yes, I am here in Vero with Kathy. What is going on right now, Gary is out fooling around with the truck. I'm VNCing into his computer. Using that, thus explaining the KC2 RMO coming up every time I key it. But that is exactly correct. Of course, we're going to get him out of the driveway and get him back on the air in a little bit. But that is the situation. And I might add, sir, what a wonderful organization you have here. It's a real pleasure to be a guest. We don't we groundhogs don't get a chance to be interviewed very often, and certainly don't get a good chance to associate with a fine bunch of folks like here, other than the one that wants to eat me. But other than that, great stuff. So this is the groundhog going back to the net.
All right, thank you, sir. I think George is just pulling your tail. Stirring the pot, and I'll leave it at that. Kathy, back to you, KY6V. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Groundhog, and thank you, Gordon, for joining and asking that question. I was waiting for someone to ask that question, but we planned this. We planned this quite some time ago, and we knew Gary was looking for that truck, and he agreed to be out. So we could get into his machine and do this, but we need to get him back in probably because he's supposed to be my backup. So actually, hopefully the system won't have any more problems. But we're going to question the groundhog some more here. Mr. Groundhog, how do groundhogs select mates? How many cubs do you have, and when are these cubs born? So this is something I think would be very interesting for you to share with us. Mr. Groundhog?
Well, I'll tell you, it's no easy chore. You know, a lot of dining and a lot of dancing, you know. Actually, it goes like this. The male groundhog does the courting. When he comes out of hibernation, he immediately selects a female groundhog. He goes from den to den until he finds one. Now, the two share the den for a short time until the female is ready to give birth. At that time, she drives the father out of the den. It's true. The father is not allowed anywhere near the young cubs and has no part in raising them. So he leaves in search of other females, but often finds they're all with cubs by that time. Gives new meaning to the to that song, Just a Gigolo, I'll tell you. On average, between 3 and 5 cubs per litter. I understand there have been as few as 1 and as many as 9. Now, in my family, we had as many as 6. However, groundhogs have only 1 litter a year. Breeding occurs in the spring, usually on April, and the cubs are born approximately 1 month later, usually in May. Cubs are born without fur and blind. They weigh 1 ounce and measure 4 1/4 inches long. It takes about 2 weeks for them to have fur and 4 weeks before they can open their eyes. At 5 weeks, they're running around. The mother will nurse them for about 6 weeks, and when they're able to eat on their own, they'll move each one away from home into a separate den and leave it. However, mother will visit each one daily for a few weeks to check in. In my case, my mom let me stay at Hog Haven. I was the favorite, of course, and I lived there ever since and had cubs of my own, or Mrs. Groundhog did. So we'll go back to the net, and this is the groundhog.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Groundhog. Here's another question for you. Do groundhog families stay together?
No, we're pretty much loners. As mentioned above, mothers and fathers don't even share living quarters after the young are born. When I was born, Dad was nowhere to be found, and that's why the I wrote the song Papa Was a Rolling Stone. But the royalties helped. Mom raised us all by herself, and my brothers and sisters left home by midsummer to live in separate dens. Occasionally, you might find 2 young groundhogs sharing a summer den, but that's probably due to a lack of comfortable housing in the area. Other species of marmots, I understand, are more social and live together in large groups. Personally, I like my space. Back to you, Kathy.
All right, and I know you're getting tired, and I have 2 questions, and then I really have a final one for you. But why don't you answer these 2, and after the final question, we'll see if we got check-ins. And then we're going to go into what exactly happened this morning. But what sounds do groundhogs make, and what actually is your purpose? A lot of people don't know what purpose you serve, so what sounds do you make, and what purpose do groundhogs serve?
Well, those are a couple of great questions, and we'll take the sound question first. You know, some species make more noise than others. The groundhogs that I know are pretty quiet. However, we can get vocal if provoked. When we feel threatened, we may let out a loud whistle or a shrill. A mom protecting her cubs will do this. Now, in the South, somebody had mentioned this before. In the South, they have a nickname for us called a whistle pig, and we also get pretty noisy when we fight, especially if it's over an ear of corn. It's mine! It's mine! No, it's mine! Well, you get the picture. And as far as our purpose, what role do we serve? Like all plants and animals, we play a role in the great scheme of nature. In digging our burrows, we improve the soil by allowing more air and water to get underground. And this helps break down the soil to form more valuable topsoil. And our abandoned dens provide homes for other animals, including foxes and skunks. The latter 2 animals aid farmers by catching and eating millions of injurious small rodents and insects that are harmful to farm crops. So you see, we actually help farmers. We're the best friend a farmer ever had. Back to the net. This is the groundhog.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Groundhog. This is my final question of you, and then we'll ask for some check-ins with any questions or comments. Then we'll let you have a little nap before you get on your way back to your den. But my final question is, how do you rescue a baby groundhog, and do groundhogs make good pets? Now, I have a kitty cat. And this kitty cat doesn't want to come around when you visit. She's hidden someplace. And she hides when anyone comes in the house, but especially another animal. But tell us, we have a lot of members here that have kitty cats. Do groundhogs make good pets? And how do you rescue that baby groundhog? Back to you, Mr. Groundhog.
Well, it's a very very poignant question, Kath, and it's a sad thing when a baby groundhog's mother gets killed, or if the groundhog den is disturbed and the mother is frightened away, leaving her babies behind. Unfortunately, this is a common occurrence in the suburbs, but thanks to people who love animals, many babies have been saved. Wild animals in general should be allowed to remain wild and not forced to live as pets. In cases where a baby groundhog is rescued, it should be rehabilitated and released back into the wild in its first summer. If you keep a baby groundhog longer than that, it'll have difficulty in learning how to live on its own and finding a home for the winter. Still, some people decide to raise us as pets. They simply fall in love with us. Well, we're so adorable. I mean, it's pretty hard not to. This can work for the tolerant and responsible pet owner who knows what to expect and is willing to make a commitment. Now, there's a lot to consider, but first I'll buy a nickel. First, it's illegal in many states to have a groundhog as a pet. You have to research the laws in your state. Groundhogs can live up to 10 years in captivity. We do a lot better in that regard inside than we do outside. We become dependent on humans. We will not survive if released back into the wild. We're very clean animals and can be litter trained. You would have to use regular cat litter, not groundhog litter. I don't think they make it. However, we trim our teeth and claws on your furniture and rugs, etc., so you need to kind of watch out for that, okay? Because we like to burrow, we'll seek hiding places within your house that may be unsafe for us. We can be very lovable and playful, but often our loving scratches and bites are taken out of context. We don't mean to hurt you. It's just our way of saying we love you. As adults, we go into heat and yearn for mates, and in winter, all we want to do is sleep. And I'm getting really tired right now. This comes from our natural instinct to hibernate. Now, as with any other pet, we require a healthy diet, lots of exercise, you can't put us in a cage, and regular veterinary care, checkups, vaccines, etc. People who have had successfully raised us as pets have accepted these things and have loved us despite our sometimes peculiar behaviors. I hope that answers your question. We'll go back to the net. This is the Groundhog.
Well, Mr. Groundhog, I want to thank you so very much for spending the time with South Cars and myself today and answering these questions. And I hope that everyone enjoyed your conversation and enjoyed asking you questions. But I'm going to throw it out there to our audience again before you have to leave and see if they have any questions or any comments of you. And more than likely, Gary has had enough fun out there with that new truck and can come back inside. But Mr. Groundhog, thank you once again. It was very enjoyable. I enjoy doing this once a year with you. So anyone, anywhere, do you have questions, comments? Just want to check in as we continue with our program this morning, and then we are actually going to go in and talk about Groundhog Day and tell us the prediction. And I will end this morning with a little story for you. So with that, anyone anywhere would like to check in.
Kelly, my Charlie Bravo.
Oscar Victor India.
One India.
All right, I have three check-ins at this point, and so I'm going to start with LCB, OVI, and One India, and I think I do hear, understand Mr. Gary is on his way back in, so we'll, after that, we'll disconnect sort of from VNC so Gary can get back in and chat with us. LCB, what's your comments, your questions? And hopefully you've enjoyed talking to Mr. Groundhog this morning.
Well, thank you again, Kathy. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo, and Ari, had talked. Mr. Groundhog was talking about his way of living there, and I was just wondering, when he was talking about the calls, he went into different types of calls there, but he never said anything about that mating call, maybe he could get all puckered up there and I hadn't been able quite to distinguish that, you know, at a distance. My preference, you know, is definitely the female groundhog. The meat is so much more tenderer, but like I said, that's only in a have-to situation. But I sure would like to learn to be able to recognize it from a distance. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, George, let me just give you an example of the groundhog mating call. It goes something like this. Hello, baby. Back to the bed.
Papa Romeo.
I'm not sure who was trying to come in. I was coming through the PR system. I think I was doubling with it. Thank you, Mr. Groundhog. Thank you, Mr. George. And let's see who that was coming through the PR system. And I think that may have been you, Kevin. How about coming aboard?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Is it still morning? Oh, barely. I think I got 1 minute left, possibly. I came on a little late in the conversation. Were there any good groundhog recipes shared?
Well, Kevin, I don't think so. Actually, George was going to make a stew out of Mr. Groundhog sitting next to me, but I think that's the only recipe, and he didn't really tell us how he was going to do it. And Mr. Groundhog was a little afraid he was going to be made into a stew, but I don't think there were any recipes out there. And actually, hopefully, this session was produced well enough, it'll be on the website, and maybe you can listen to the entire thing. But I'll turn it back to you, Kevin, but that's the only recipe I think was there, was George talking about a stew.
Well, I figured if anybody had a good recipe for one, it would be George, and he'd probably know how to season it just right. Anyway, I'm just taking the dog for a little ride down by the beach before I start my afternoon activities here. Nice warm sunny day. I believe it's around 80. My car is saying it's 83 out. I'm not sure if it's really that warm. But clear blue skies and sunny. Nice light breeze. So, and the dog loves running around out on the beach, and I try to do it at least once a week. So going to do that before I go do some garden chores. And and I'm going to do something I haven't done in about 6 months. I'm going to clean the interior of my car out. Who knows what I'll find. KJ4PR.
Well, thanks, Kevin, for checking in this morning. And I can't remember the last time I cleaned my car. It just doesn't fit in the schedule. Glad that you're outside enjoying the nice weather. And I understand you are planning to go to the Orlando Ham Fest. So hopefully I can talk to you, meet you. I'm going to enjoy it. I haven't gone to the Ham Fest in a couple years, so I'm looking forward to it. But thank you, Kevin. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful week, and enjoy cleaning out that car. So with that, I'm going to pick up Mr. OVI, Pete, see if he has a question of Mr. Groundhog or just simply wants to check in this morning. We're going to have to start winding down here a little bit. We're not going to be able to go into everything we wanted to talk about, but we've had a great deal of fun here with Mr. Groundhog this morning, and I did want to share that. So, KD4OBI, please come aboard.
Oscar McKenzie, coming aboard here, finally. But anyway, what's the groundhog's favorite food, Mr. Groundhog? What do you like to chew on? Is it carrots or you like carrots? What is it? I'll be interested to find out. And also, do the groundhogs dream during their hibernation period? And maybe you can go into that. Back to Make your show, before I still attend you.
Well, Pete, as far as food goes, virtually any vegetable is great. I love carrots. I'm particularly fond of watermelon. I don't care for the seeds, but the watermelon's great. Really like that. Do we dream during hibernation? Yes, but kind of hard to remember because it's a really long hibernation. You just get bits and pieces when you wake up, you know? So with that, we'll go back to the net. This is the Groundhog.
All right. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Mr. Groundhog. We're going to pick up one India, and then at that point, I'm sure Gary is going to be heading back into the home, and we're going to have to disconnect from him. But we do appreciate the time you've taken and the questions you've answered, Mr. Groundhog. But one India. Do you have a question of final question, Mr. Groundhog, or any other comments you'd like to make? Please come aboard.
Well, Kathy, I just wanted to thank Mr. Groundhog for his participation today, and also wanted to know how he liked the place down there in Vero. And I don't know about you, Mr. Groundhog, but Kathy showed me her Florida room, and up north here we call that a shack, with all the computers and radios in there. But I did want to recommend that while you're there, before you come back north, to check out some of the fresh fruit that you can get down there, because it's just delicious. There's this market near Kathy's where the stuff is so good. They send us all the junk up north here, and they keep the good stuff for them. So I know you like fruit, and I suggest you check it out, and maybe you might want to munch on a palm tree too. See how that goes. It's something exotic compared to what you're used to. And I can understand why you don't like watermelon seeds. It's with those buck teeth of yours, it's probably hard to spit them out. So I understand that, and I also appreciate your incredible skills and abilities at Ad Lib scholarship program. Oh God.
Well, the only problem, Paul, thank you for all your kind words, number one. The only problem with buck teeth is, you know, if you'd spent another buck, you could have gotten a good set. But, yes, Kathy has shown me the facility. I've seen the Florida room, and I will take your advice and stock up on fresh fruit, that's for sure, before I bring it back. I have yet to sample a palm tree, but I think before we leave Vero, that's on the list too. So thank you, sir. And as always, you know, even if it's a once a year thing, great to hear from you as well. Back to net control from the Groundhog.
All right, Mr. Groundhog, and everyone who's giving questions to the Groundhog, I know he's appreciating this and he's taking it all in, and he's going to go up and try to arrange to talk to a female groundhog about the fun he had down here. And I'll make sure that he gets to that market. Actually, there's a palm tree in my front yard, so maybe he can sample that. So, you know, Mr. Groundhog, thank you so much. Do a little bit of resting as we continue with the net. And then when you're ready, I'll send you on your way. But I appreciate you doing this every year with me. We enjoy the visit we have. So, with that, once again, I want to thank each and every one of you for being here. But we're going to continue. We're going to see if Mr. Gary KC2RMO is finally in from having fun with his truck so that he can come aboard and share with us about February 2nd. And we're going to talk a little bit about today and Groundhog Day. And then we're going to give you the findings. We're not going to have a chance to talk about that great movie, probably, but we're going to start to wind down. We've kept you a long time here this afternoon, and now it's afternoon. So, Gary, KC2RMO, are you back in the house, and can you tell us about February 2nd?
Well, thanks, Kathy. We're back in, and kind of have to wait for a little bit better weather to get that tonneau cover back on the truck bed. Just a little too wet out there to be doing that, and got too much stuff in the garage, so I can't pull it in. So that's a wait and see before we can do it. That groundhog was just great. I got to tell you, we'll give that groundhog a little round of applause. He's a star. That groundhog is. I tell you, he's a star. You know, Groundhog Day, February 2, is a popular tradition in the United States. It's also a legend that traverses centuries, its origins clouded in the mists of time, with ethnic cultures and animals awakening on specific dates.
Myths such as this tie our present to the distant past when nature did indeed influence our lives. It is the day that the groundhog comes out of his hole after a long winter sleep to look for his shadow. Now, every year on February 2, millions of people worldwide gather to wait and see if the groundhog will see his shadow. There are many Groundhog Day celebrations all over the country. Now, if the groundhog sees his shadow, the legend has it there will be six more cold weeks of winter. Incidentally, if the day is dreary and dark, and spring is hinted to be just around the corner. So if he doesn't see his shadow, that's good news. Perhaps the most famous groundhog is Punxsutawney Phil, who lives in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, which is, I had mentioned a little bit earlier, towards the middle of the state, kind of like towards Lancaster County. While Groundhog Day is a fun way to predict the possibility of an early spring, it is rooted in legend and history. Let me just buy a nickel. The people of Punxsutawney jokingly state their groundhog has never been wrong in his weather predictions. They also contend that the same groundhog named Phil has been alive for over 120 years due to a magic potion that he sips once every summer. Each time he drinks the elixir, he's magically granted 7 more years of life. This makes him the most accurate weather forecasting groundhog in the world to answer the provocative question that everyone wants to know. When will springtime begin? I want some of that elixir. You know that February 2, the groundhog is supposed to wake from his winter sleep and come out of his hole. If he sees a shadow, he'll go back into his hole and go to sleep again, and winter will last for another 6 weeks. If he doesn't see his shadow, he stays up and winter will be over. In other words, one should hope that the day will be dark and overcast so the groundhog won't see his shadow. This is a fun day because it's so relaxed. It isn't a deeply meaningful day. This holiday originally hails from Germany and Poland, although the Iroquois Indians, believe it or not, have a belief that is very much the same. They watch for bears rather than groundhogs. Punxsutawney Phil is said to be the only true weather forecasting groundhog. Others say they're just the others are just imposters. How often is Phil's prediction correct? 100% of the time, they say. He's been making predictions for over 125 years. On February 2, he comes out of his burrow on Gobbler's Knob in front of thousands of followers. And really, today, I happened to watch the ceremonies this morning. They had, they said, 30,000 plus there this morning. After he emerges, he speaks to his Groundhog Club president in Groundhoggies. And that is a language only understood by the current president of the Inner Circle. His proclamation is translated for the world. So, Kathy, what is your report? Let's release the news right now. What have you heard regarding this year's predictions based on what the groundhog had to say?
Well, Gary, thanks for sharing that. And if you did go to VOIP South Car's website, you know exactly what Phil did say, because Mr. Steve has already put it there with a thumbs up finger. When the Pennsylvania groundhog emerged from his dwelling at Gobbler's Knob today, Sunday morning, you know, you say, did he or did he not see his shadow? I didn't purposely get up at 7:20. I think it was 7:26 or 7:25. I got up a little bit later, but I did check it out because that was part of what I wanted to share. You know, the forecast was for a cloudy day and snow showers at the time of the event. Now, like Gary was saying, if this is true and comes to pass, that would mean Phil would not see a shadow, and he would stay out of his burrow for the rest of the season, and winter would be over, and spring would begin. But unfortunately, here's what happened. At 7:25 a.m. today, a raw, cloudy, and damp morning, Groundhog Phil saw his shadow in the small town of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. The appearance of Phil's shadow means winter will extend well into March, according to folklore. Had Phil not seen his shadow, it would be spring. But I want to tell you about another groundhog, and this is where Steve's going to come aboard and share this with us. But let me pause for just a moment. You know, Pierre Chadeau is the groundhog in Louisiana. It's the Cajun groundhog, Pierre C. Chadeau. He did not see a shadow. and it is signaling extended spring and slower return to hot, humid summer weather. But because he did not see a shadow, Steve is saying he's looking forward to spring. So at this point, I want to call out there for check-ins. All of you are familiar with the movie, but we won't have a chance to talk about that. Hopefully you'll be able to watch that. It's a fun movie. So how about some check-ins to come aboard as we start to wind down this morning? Any check-ins, please? Suffixes, please.
VH.
Well, Steve, I knew you would come aboard and tell us about Pierre Chadeau. And maybe you have any further information about that. Is there anyone else at this point that this may be the final check-ins that would like to come aboard and make any comments before we start to wind down? I'm actually going to share a story with you. Any other check-ins before we start closing the net? All right, hearing nothing, Victor Hotel, Steve, what's your comments this morning? And maybe you'd like to share a little bit with us about Pierre Chadeau and what happened there. But I think you're jumping for joy that finally that those winter temperatures are going to be gone and spring is a-coming. So, Steve, come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Just some truth in advertising. Pierre C. Chadeau in New Iberia is not a groundhog. He is a nutria. He is a swamp rat, and much better for weather prediction near the swamp. This is KF5VH, everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks for sharing that, Steve, and I remember that from last year, and actually we didn't talk a lot about either one of them this morning because we had more fun listening to the groundhog. You know, so I want to put this little thought out to everyone. You know, the groundhog told us a lot of information, and but have you ever heard, Gary is going to ask you about if you've ever heard a saying, and then he's going to give you a chance to respond. You've heard the saying, and then he's going to call on me to actually share a story and then close this morning. But I hope that everyone has enjoyed. So, Gary, ask them about that saying about the woodchuck chuck. So, Gary, Casey, too, come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy. And, yep, you heard that everybody's heard the saying, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? And it actually became a kind of a really funny commercial, too. So the question really is, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? About 700 pounds, they say, compared to beavers, groundhogs, and slash woodchucks are not adept at moving timber, although some will chew wood. At Cornell, woodchucks that gnaw their wooden nest boxes are given scraps of 2x4 lumber. A wildlife biologist once measured the inside volume of a typical woodchuck burrow and estimated that if wood filled the hole instead of dirt, the industrious animal would have chucked about 700 pounds worth. So there's your answer. A woodchuck can chuck about 700 pounds of wood during a lifetime. Any comments? We'll take some check-ins right now as we continue on the Sunday Morning Rag 2. Okay, we'll throw it open. Any comments, any last check-ins maybe? We'll take them right now. Okay, Kath, nothing heard, so we're going to send it back to you. This is KC2RMO, back to net control.
Got one. OVI.
All right, I heard OVI out there. And actually, Pete, I'm going to call on you after I share my story. I'll once again throw it out there for any comments, any announcements anyone wants to make as we conclude our Sunday Morning Rag Chew on Groundhog Day. And we'll come aboard and tell you the future, what's happening next week as well. But let me share this story with you, first of all. And this is a story about a groundhog, and I hope that you enjoy it. But let me pause for just a moment. You know, every year on February 2nd, a groundhog named Putzahanny Phil comes out of his burrow. Phil is so important, he's treated like a king. If he sees his shadow, we will have 6 more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see his shadow, winter is over and spring is here. But 1 year, an imposter showed up, and that made Phil angry. He didn't like sharing the limelight. You ain't really a groundhog out in the light, said Phil. No, you're not a groundhog. I know I'm right. You ain't nothing but a possum who only comes out at night. You think you can predict when it will be spring? I know you can't predict when it will be spring. You ain't nothing but a possum who only comes out at night. Poor possum, he was so sad. All he wanted to do was be part of the fun. Night creatures never get to share in the fun, said the possum sadly. Phil was sorry that he had hurt the possum's feelings. So Phil thought for a moment. Then he said, Possum is right. This isn't fair to the night animals who sleep during the day. So from now on, we're going to call February 2nd Groundhog Day and Possum Night. Let me pause a moment. Hooray, yelled the night owl. Clap, 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 the bat applauded with his wings. All right, said the raccoon. You're so kind and wise, Possum said to Phil. Why do you think they call me king? Said Phil with a wink. So I wanted to share that with each and every one of you. It was a little story that, you know, it's about all of our lives, that you just want to be a part of the fun. And I want to thank each and every one of you for being part of the fun this morning. Gary and Mr. Woodchuck, also appreciate your comments and your questions as we sort of conclude this morning. But before I do, let me throw it out there to anyone anywhere that would like to come aboard and make some final comments or check-ins. And I have you, Pete, you don't need to check back in, but is there anyone else that would like to come aboard? And that includes you, Gary, or anyone else as we conclude the program this morning.
RMO, just a very quick comment.
All right, hearing nothing, I'll call on first OVI, and then I'll call on you, RMO. But I do want to thank each and every one of you. I hope you enjoyed it this morning. I always enjoy putting this on every year, and I enjoy Mr. Woodchuck joining us. So with that, KD4 OVI, come aboard.
Still saying that Woodchuck is worth his weight in gold. Yeah, he's... Chuck, all that wood, 700 pounds of gold. Figure that out in a gold standard. Could you, RMO, could you come up with that figure? Over. KD4Oscar Victor India. You're worthwhile translating 700 pounds into gold. Over.
Pete, give me a minute. I might be able to have that answer.
I think you said give you a moment and you'll have that answer, Gary. Actually, I'll call on you to make your final comments. Or if you're not ready for your final comments and your question, your answer to Pete, I'll actually go through some announcements as we conclude this morning. So, Gary, are you ready to make some comments? You want me to make some announcements first?
No, I think I'm good to go. The first comment I had wasn't that the first take of Hound Dog that Elvis did. It was like, you ain't nothing but a possum, you know, says so you ain't nothing but a hound dog. The weight of 700 pounds of gold is worth $12,688,668.30. With that, we go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
All right. Gary, thanks for sharing that. Pete, did that answer your question about the wood versus gold? Back to you, KD4OVI.
here it is. Here it is. Here's the synopsis of what. I think that's how much gold Fort Knox and its what do you call it? It's this infinite days when it first started harvesting gold to put into its coffers. I think that would be about the start of Fort Knox. KD4OVI, Virginia.
And actually, Pete, if you look, or anyone else, you look in the text box, Gary put a website for your weight in gold. I'll have to check that out and see what I'm worth. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us this morning. It's been a longer net than usual. I'm surprised it lasted so long, but we enjoyed the conversation with Mr. Woodchuck. I want to thank Gary for being my backup. You know, he's always so entertaining when he runs a session, and we're hoping for Gary's sake that he gets that winter storm he's looking for. But, you know, on Thursday is a very special net. It's our TIN, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's going to be out about building a website. We have quite a staff that's going to be, I'm not sure if it's an interview session, they're going to be talking on how to build the website. Steve, you know, has built Southcar's website to a fantastic site, and he will be part of the program. I believe Roger, RFJ, Gordon, and I think Daryl from Newfoundland is part of it, and we're going to enjoy listening to that. On Saturday, Gary, once again, he's going to be the NCS for the Global Family Hour, and he's going to be talking about those phonographic records, past, present, and future. Looking forward to that. So anyone that's musically inclined will want to listen to that. And the Sunday Rag Chew will be about the Orlando Ham Fest. I, along with a lot of us in Florida, will be attending the Ham Fest, and we'll be able to share some of that information with you. So with that, I'm going to close this morning's session, but first I'm going to pause for just a moment. And once again, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, along with KCRMO, thanking you for joining our special session of a Groundhog Day. But this has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. A VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on our website. That's www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session has been myself, Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathy. My backup was KC2RMO, and our special guest was a Mr. Groundhog from the North. And we all say 73, and we close this VOIP session. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. It was a great deal of fun. The net is now closed and returned to regular amateur use. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, along with KC2RMO and Mr. Groundhog, saying bye-bye for now.